We left off yesterday in the middle of a discussion of whether Bia's Eris Sinoso and Nisuno. So the Gemara was discussing whether when one does Kiddush Bia, does that accomplish only Kiddush, or does it accomplish Nisuin as well? So the Raya that the Gemara had brought, which is a Braisa that we're still in the middle of discussing, was a Raya that was a Braisa that had a conversation between Ben Bagbag and Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, where Ben Bagbag says to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, is it true that what I've heard about you, that you say that an Arusa, who's a Bas Yisrael, a girl whose father is Yisrael, and has Erisin with a Kohen, has only Kiddushin with a Kohen, is allowed to eat Truma? So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra responded, of course I hold that on a Daraisa level, she's allowed to eat Truma, because it's a simple Kal V'chomer. And the Kal V'chomer that he suggests is that, take the example of a Shivcha Knan. If a guy were to go over to a Shivcha Knanis, a Kohen were to go over to Shivcha Knanis and have Bia with her, it would not allow the Shivcha Knanis to eat Truma, because Bia doesn't do anything to a Shivcha Knanis. Yet if he were to pay a couple of dollars for her, so it would allow her to eat Truma, because then he'd acquire her as his Shivcha. So by a case of a woman he's going to marry, not by a Shivcha Knanis, by a woman he's going to marry, where we know that if he were to have Bia with her, that is Ma'achil her Truma, that would allow her to eat Truma. So of course, if he pays a few dollars for her, if he gives Kiddushei Kesef, of course that's going to be able to be Machil her Truma. So that's how I know that an Arusa Bas Yisrael on a Doraisa level is allowed to eat Truma. So the Gemara said, oh, so you see from there that Bia Nisuin Osa. How do you see that? Because why is it Pashut to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra that if the guy has Bia with the woman, with a regular woman, that she's allowed to eat Truma? Why is that any more Pashut than giving her Kesef, allowing her to eat Truma? Must be that we're assuming that when he has Bia with her, that makes Nisuin. And that's why it's Pashut that she's allowed to eat Truma when he has Bia with her. So the Gemara had one rejection of that Raya yesterday, and now we're up to Ravina. Ravina Amar, about 12 lines from the bottom of the page. The last word in the line is Ravina. So Ravina Amar, Mida Oraisa Mifshat Pshita Leita Achla. No, Ravina says we're misunderstanding the entire conversation. Both sides of the conversation, Ben Bagbag and Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, both go into the conversation assuming that clearly on a Daraisa level, an Arusa eats Truma, that there's no question about that. I mean, previously we understood that they both agreed on a Darabanan level that an Arusa can't eat Truma, and the discussion was whether on a Daraisa level she can or cannot. Now he's saying, no, they both understand that on a Daraisa level she absolutely can. Umidrabanan hu deshalachle, the whole discussion was on a Darabanan level. Vahachi shalachle, this is what he was telling him. This is what Ben Bagbag sent to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Shamati alecha sha'ata omer Arusa bas Yisrael lo chelos betruma, velo chiyash. I heard that you say that an Bas Yisrael who becomes an Arusa to a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma, and you're not worried about Simfon. What is Simfon? So Rashi says Simfon by definition is called Davar a Mevatel Davar. Anything that is Mevatel something else, that nullifies something else, Kare Simfon, is called Simfon Shalom. It's called its Simfon. Kigon, for example, Shover Avi Simfon Shal Shtar. The Simfon of a Shtar that says someone Ruven El Shimon Money, owes Shimon Money, is the receipt that he's already received the money. So that's called the Simfon, Mishnayim Ochsin in the Gemara Bab Metzia. The Kan Kare Simfon, Davar Mevatel Ose Kiddushin Ose Mekach Shalavet. Anything that's going to be mevatel the kiddushin or the sale is called simfon. So a classic example of simfon by kiddushin would be if he finds some mum shebaseser on her, he finds some terrible blemish on her that she did not reveal beforehand that she had. So that would be simfon. So he says, I heard that you say that even midrabanan, the Arusa Bas Yisrael is allowed to eat Truma. Not only is it a din d'oraisa, but even midrabanan, she's allowed to eat Truma, because you think the Rabbanan are not worried about Simfon, that the Rabbanan are not worried that maybe after he takes her into his house, and he's going to find some sort of mum, which is going to cancel the whole Kiddusha retroactively, which would mean she was never allowed to eat Truma. That's what I've heard you hold. So Shalach Lei, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra sent back to him, Va'ata iyata omer kein? What, you don't hold the same? Muchsakni bach shata bach. I've heard about you that you're a big bucky in many areas of Torah. Lidrosh b'kal v'chomer yeti yodeya, so you can't apply a little bit of svara. You can't give a little bit of a kal v'chomer. Simple kal v'chomer. Umash shivcha knanis, she'in biyasa ma'achilasa betruma. kaspa mechilas b'truma by a shivcha kananis. If a kohen has bia with a shivcha kananis that he does not yet own, it does not allow her to eat truma. Yet if he gives kesef for her, it does allow her to eat truma. And v'lo chashinu l'simfon, we're not worried that after he pays for her, he's going to bring her back home and he's going to find some sort of major problem with her that's going to void the whole sale. We're not worried about that. We're not worried about simfon by the shivcha kananis. So zu shabiyasa machilasa b'truma, ein odin shakas machilasa b'truma v'lo nechosh l'simfon. So by a regular woman, we're having beer with her, would be machil b'truma, not because Bia makes nisuin. No, says Ravina, because Bia makes erisin, and everyone agrees that erisin is enough to be machil b'truma. So this woman, that having Bia with her would allow her to eat truma, of course giving some kesa for her would allow her to eat truma, and we also, the Rabbanon, should not be concerned about simfon. They shouldn't be worried that maybe you're going to find some sort of mum which is going to void the entire kiddushin. But that's the whole point. Ravina, well, let's finish up the statement first, and Rabbi Yehuda Seder finishes up, and he says, "Avol ma'ase shari amur chama rusa b'asrol leino achalos b'truma shidchanis l'chuba mishum du'ula." But bottom line is, you know, although I agree that I hold that there's no reason to be choshish for simfon, and therefore we should technically follow the din Torah that an arusa is allowed to eat truma. But no, what can I do? There is a separate din d'rabbana, nothing to do with simfon, that precludes the arusa from eating truma, namely the concern of Ula, that Ula was worried that she's going to share her food with her brothers and her father. If you give her truma while she's still living in her father's house, she's going to go share it with her brother and father, who are Yisraelim, who are Zorim, and are not allowed to eat truma. So that's why she can't eat truma. So actually, the way it turns out at the end of the day, and the Gemara will address this, is that both Ben Bagbag and Rabbi Ben Maseira hold that on a Dalraisa level, an Arusa Bas Yisrael is allowed to eat Truma, and on a Darabana level, an Arusa Bas Yisrael is not allowed to eat Truma. They agree in Halacha, it seems. They disagree on the reason. They disagree on why an Arusa Bas Yisrael is not allowed to eat Truma midrabanan. That Ben Bagbag wanted to say it's because of Simfon. He says, well, the reason she can't eat Truma is because you never know. Maybe after he does Nisuin, he's going to find some sort of terrible moon which is going to nullify the Kiddushin L'mafreya. And Rabbi Yehuda Maaser says, no, nothing to do with that. It's because of Ula's concern. We're afraid she's going to share it. She's going to share the Truma with her family so long as she's only an Arusa. Good, so that's how Ravina understands the discussion between Ben Bagbag and Rabbi Yehuda Maaser. But the main point, as Tosos says very clearly in Dibra Maskul Ravina Amar, in terms of how Ravina is rejecting the proof that Bia Nisuminosa, so if you look at that, Tosos says Pirish Ravina Balakayim, Ravina's trying to establish that Li Olam Emalach the Bia Erisinosa, that Bia really only accomplishes Erisin, Udkaamrit Maishna Hacha the Pshitalay, Maishna Hacha the Mesafkalay, that which we asked earlier, we said, if Bia only makes erisin, how come in that conversation, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser was so sure that Bia will be machil a woman truma, but that Kesef won't be machil a woman truma? If Kesef and Bia both accomplished the same exact thing, they both accomplished simply only allowing her to eat truma, they both accomplished only erisin, so of course whatever one accomplishes, the other should accomplish. There's no greater reason to say that Bia should be machil or truma than Kesef. So to address that problem, says Ravina b'dar reisa pshita dachla, bein b'bia, bein b'kesef, that on a daraisa level they both agree. Everyone agrees that both Bia, Kesef, whatever you do for erisin is enough to be machil her truma. That which Ben Bagbag was saying, I think it should be usher, he's saying, I think it should be usher for the truma on a derabanan level. And the kalvachomer Rabbi Ben Maaser responded with was not a kalvachomer midaraisa, it was a kalvachomer midrabanan. Debebia pshitale daachla, afilu midrabanan, delo shaykh bachshash simfon. What's the point? Why is it more pashut that on a derabanan level a woman is allowed to eat truma after she had kiddushay bia, more so than after she had kiddushay kesef? Because if your whole problem, your whole concern of why she shouldn't be allowed to eat truma is that we might find a mum on her, that the husband might find something wrong with her, well, if he had kiddushay bia, there's no concern of simfon. There's no concern that he's going to find a mum. He already had bia with her. So in a case of bia, it's obvious where he did kiddushay bia, it's obvious you have nothing to worry about in terms of finding a mum on her.
And therefore, we go back to what the Dinda Oraisa is, which is that she's allowed to eat Truma. That's why it was so pashut to Rabbi Meseira, that when you're Mekadish with beer, she's allowed to eat Truma. A man does not drink from a cup unless he checks it out first, meaning if he had beer with her, he checked her out clearly. And the Kal V'chomer merely tries to suggest that on a Drabanan level, we shouldn't be concerned for Simfon, even by Kiddushei Kesef. So that's how Ravina rejects the Raya that Bia is Nisuin Osa, and instead he says that Bia is Eris in Osa. Now the Gemara, nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda ben Meseira, the way Ravina translates it, Rabbi Yehuda ben Meseira nevertheless says at the end, but still she's not allowed to eat Truma when she's only in Arusa because of Ula's concern. Now, when is she not allowed to eat Truma until? Until she enters the chuppah, which means till she actually has real nisuin. Now, Tosfos says that's not so pashut. It's not as pashut as it sounds. I mean, it sounds pretty obvious that if you're going to make an issur d'rabbanan for an arusa to eat truma, so when would that issur d'rabbanan end? When she has nisuin. That sounds very logical. But says Tosfos, midenaka d'achet dikarnis l'chuppah, mashma d'haynu k'mishna achrona d'perek afalpi. There is a machlokas in Maseches Ksubos as follows. She'eno ba'ochelos ba'gozman achet dikarnis l'chuppah. There is a machlokas between a Mishnah Rishona and a Mishnah Achrona in Maseches Ksubos. The machlokas is, at what point do we say the Arusa is now allowed to eat truma? Is it when she has nisuin, so she's no longer an arusa, which is what our Gemara assumes, or is it, no, when she was supposed to have nisuin, even if it didn't happen, when the nisuin was initially scheduled, 1 year after the erisin, when the nisuin was expected, but for whatever reason it was delayed, but do you say, look, she sat out a year, she had a year of not eating truma, time is up, now she gets to eat truma. So it sounds like we're assuming that it's dafka when she has the nisuin itself. So it's, that's fine, but says Tosas, here's the problem. Vitema, the perik afalpi pligi amorai b'mishna rishona, sheino chelos b'chum achi agiaz man, imishum da'ula, omishum simfon. There's a machlokas within the Mishnah Rishona why it is that a girl would not eat truma until higiazman, until the scheduled time for the nisuin. Is it because of Ula's concern she's going to share it with her family, or is it because of Simfon that you're going to find a mum on her? But afilu hachi b'mishna achrona modu kulu de time mishum Simfon. Within the Mishnah Achrona, which says that she only starts to eat truma when she actually has nisuin, and not just when he gives man, everyone agrees, all the Amoraim agree over there, that it's not because of Ula, that it's because of the concern of Simfon that you're going to find some sort of mum. So bottom line is, V'hacha kamar, next time I'll come, Mishum du'ula, da'ainu, Mishum shami yimzugu. Over here, the Gemara assumes, like the Mishnah Achrona, that she's only going to be allowed to eat truma when she actually has nisuin, yet the Gemara assumes the reason for it is Ula, who says that she's going to share it with her family. But the Gemara in Ksuba says very clearly that if you hold like the Mishnah Achrona, that she's going to be allowed to eat Truma only when she has actual Nisuin, then you don't. It's not because of Ula, it's because of Simfon. So our Gemara is going against what's established in the Gemara Maseches Ksubos. So it tells us two answers. First answer, V'yesh lomar atche dikanis l'chuppa lav dafka. Yeah, our Gemara doesn't really mean when until she enters the chuppa. It really means alad she yagia zman. It means until the time comes that she was supposed to enter the chuppa. Doesn't mean until she actually enters the chuppa. Ulefisha ukemishna rishona. Ulefisha gazman regilin lasos chuppa nakad chuppa. And the reason why he uses the term chuppa is because normally when the time comes for chuppa, that's when they have the chuppa. Granted, there are certain times where it's going to be delayed and it's not going to happen right away, but that's the normal thing. Normally, when the time comes for chuppah, that's when they're going to have the chuppah, and that's why it uses the term over here. So that's the simple pshat. But then Tos suggests a much more involved pshat. He says, V'arav Rabbeinu Moshe minarvona mefaresh ad she'tichanis l'chuppah v'dafka. Now, when we say ad she'tichanis l'chuppah, it literally means until she goes into the chuppah. We had the problem. How could it mean until she literally goes into the chuppah? I thought we said, according to the Mishnah Achrona, it's all a concern of Simfon. He says, no, we're misunderstanding the Gemara in Ksubas. The Ksavar ilav the Gazur meyakar mishum du'ula mishum Simfon lohi maskilim ligzar. The Gezerah of Simfon alone could never stand alone. It would never be enough of a Gezerah. You would never make a rule that a woman's not allowed to eat Truma because of the 0.001% of the women who have some sort of horrible blemish that goes unnoticed until they're married. That, how common is that? That's not something you would make a Gezerah about. You would only include a Gezerah, Mishum Simfon, once you're already making a Gezerah for something else. So if you're already making a gzeira because of Ula's concern that she's going to feed her family, then you can tack on top of that a gzeira mishum simfon. So he says, meaning, if the gzeira of Ula would have been enough to say that it's usher for her to eat truma until the higiyas man, until the scheduled time of nisuin, so that's the ikr gzeira. Then you say, you know what, once we're already pushing her off until that time, if we're concerned about Simfon, we should push her off. You know, if we want to add on a concern about Simfon, we should push her off even until she actually goes into the chuppah, not just until her scheduled chuppah time. So since even if you hold that it's Mishum Simfon, which the Mishnah Achrona does hold, that assumes that we already have the concern of Ula, that we already made the initial Gezera because of Ula. That's the Chiddush of Rabbi Moshe Minarvona. So that's the that's what our Gemara is getting at. That yes, it's Achet Tikkanes Chuppah until she actually goes into the Chuppah, and it's all based on the concern of Ula. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, and what does Ben Bagbag respond? How does, meaning the Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira said a very good kalvachomer. Look, by a shivcha, we're not worried about Simfon, so why should I be worried about Simfon by a Kiddush Aisha? So Ben Bagbag says very simple, why? Ben Bagbag, Simfon ba'avadim lesle. There's nothing to be worried about Simfon when it comes to a shivcha. What are you worried you're going to find about a shivcha? Meaning you buy a shivcha. So what blemish are you going to find in her which puzzles her to be your shivcha? If there's some sort of obvious blemish on her that you're just not going to be able to look at every day, meaning that's your problem. She's going to be working in your house and she's going to be making the food and she has some sort of obvious blemish which is going to make you sick. Well, you should have seen that before you bought her. Meaning if it's on her face or some exposed part of her body, you should have seen that. And if it's an issue that she has some mum on her back or something, on the small of her back or something like that, where you would never see it anyway, why do you care? Meaning, if it's your wife, I understand you care because you're going to see it. But this is a shivcha. This isn't someone you're sleeping with. It's not someone you're marrying. So what do you care if she has some sort of mum shabaseser? That shouldn't passel that shouldn't avoid the sale of or the purchase of the shivcha. So what else would you be worried about? So whenever you hire domestic help, what are you worried about? Main concern? Nimsa ganav kavyustos, right? Your main concern is that maybe they're a dishonest person, maybe they steal things, maybe they're a kavyustos. What's a kavyustos? Rashi says, goniv nefashos, a kidnapper, right? Maybe they steal people. So higiu, but the halacha is, for whatever reason, the halacha is, if you buy an eved, and the eved turns out to be a ganav, you can't void the sale based on that. So you can't say it's a simfon that you're going to find out that they're an eved or a kavyustos because you're not allowed to void the sale. Why not? So Rashi says, because avadim happen to be ganavim for the most part. It's to be expected. When you buy an eved, you know, for whatever reason, sociologically, that's the fact that many avadim are ganavim. You can't void a sale of an eved just because the guy turns out to be a ganav. So my amrit, what are you worried about? List the mezuyan. You think the simfon that you're going to find out that they're highway bandits, that they're muggers, or nichtav lamalchus, or that they're on the FBI's most wanted list. Hanukala islahu. If that were true, you would have found out about that before you purchased them. You can't just come afterwards claiming, oh, I just found out. No, if you would have done an ounce of research, you would have found this out about them. So these are not things that would void the sale. So basically, Ben Bagbag says, the reason why we're not worried about Simfon by a Shivcha is because there is no Simfon by a Shivcha. What are you going to find out about her that would void the sale? There's nothing to find out. But by Kiddush Aisha, sure there's stuff to find out. By Kiddush Aisha, you're going to find some sort of terrible mum on her, and that's enough to void the sale. Now, in terms of the translation of this term, kavyustos, Tosos disagrees with Rashi. Tosos says that kavyustos does not mean gonev nefashos, and he has a raya from the first parak of Maseches Bechoros, where the Gemara says that there was a discussion between someone and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who someone challenged Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai figuring out the money that was used for counting the Bnei Yisrael, and showing that the numbers don't exactly work out. And he says, I don't understand. Moshe Rabchem, Ganav haya or Kuvyustus haya? Moshe Rabbeinu, what was he, a Ganav or a Kuvyustus? Because the monies don't seem to work out. He seems to have pocketed a lot of money. Oh, Eino Baki B'Cheshbonus haya? Maybe he just doesn't know how to count, right? He doesn't know how to keep an accounting of the money. So if Kuvyustus means a kidnapper, what does kidnapper have to do with not being able to keep the books? Like, he's not a good bookkeeper, so he's a kidnapper. So he says, So Kuvyustus can't mean kidnapper, Tosos says. What does Kuvyustus mean? Says Tosos, L'chein pirushrach, the Kuvyustus mesachik b'kuvya, means a gambler. Doesn't mean a kidnapper. V'hadamer v'bereshis rabba, v'yomer shalcheni kala ashacha, the Medrash tells us that when Yaakov fights with the Sarah Shal Esav, the Sarah Shal Esav says, okay, let me go because it's Allah ashachar, because it's morning time ready. The kamala Yaakov l'malach, so Yaakov says to the malach, where do you need to go when the sun comes up? V'chi ganavata o kuvyustus ata? What are you, a ganav or a kuvyustus? So, shata misyari minashach, that you're afraid of morning time? So, what does that mean? If you say, like Rashi, that you're a kidnapper, so lepir shakuntras nicha, I understand. The kidnapper's afraid of morning time, someone's going to catch him. He's got to go back to hide out. What about if he's a gambler? Why is a gambler afraid of morning? So Lapirish Rabbeinu Chanan al Nami Yishlomer Da'adam Shemasachi Bekuvya Rugilios Olav Noshem Harbei V'Nitman B'Fneim. It's also very common for a gambler to have a lot of debts, owe a lot of people money, so the gambler doesn't like to come out during the daytime. Right? I think in the casinos you always made to believe it's nighttime. No windows in casinos. Is that true? I've never been to one. But the apparently gambling is much more popular at night than it is during the daytime. And during the daytime, gamblers don't like to normally be seen. The Ritva uses even stronger lashon over here. The Ritva says that the reason why a gambler is afraid of morning time is because most mesachtim bekuvya are ganavim. They actually steal money and happen to be kidnappers as well in order to pay back their debts. So it's a pretty harsh view of gamblers. But he says that's what happens. You get into debt because of gambling, and you'll do whatever it takes to get out. And could be that's what Rashi means. That Rashi means that they're kidnappers because they're gamblers. It's not two separate things. Okay. Anyway, says the Gemara, Michti bein lamar bein lamar lo achla mai benayu. This whole conversation ben Bagbag and Rabbi Dvar Maseir, the way Ravina is explaining it, everyone agrees that on a daraisa level in Arusa is allowed to eat truma, and on a Darabanan level in Arusa Bas Yisrael is not allowed to eat truma. The only difference between them is that Ben Bagbag says the Arusa Bas Yisrael is not allowed to eat truma because of Simfon, and Rabbi Ben Masera says it's because of Ula, because we're afraid she's going to share the food. So, my nafkamina, what difference does it make? Either way, they agree in halacha. So they're having this whole conversation. I thought you're a bucky. I thought you know how to make a kavul chomer. Well, who cares? Bottom line is they're both saying the same thing. So says in Gemara, no, there is nafkamina. Yikubinayu kibel masa v'halach. Nafkamina is, if let's say, well, Rashi says there's three things. Kibel masa v'halach. Kibel means if the guy is mekabel whatever mum she has. Meaning, let's say he says, I'm a kaddish and I'm so in love with you, I don't care. He says, Beferish, I don't care what mum you have. You could have boils all over your back, whatever it might be, I don't care. It doesn't really matter to me. It's irrelevant to me. So then, if your concern is Simfon, there's nothing to worry about. If your concern is that she's going to share the truma with her brothers and father, there is something to worry about. Masar is a case of Masara av l'shluchei habal, that the father gave her over to the shluchei habal. So at that point, Simfon you still have to worry about because the husband still hasn't seen her, but the concern she's going to share the food with somebody, you don't have to worry about because she's no longer in her father's house. Halach is Holchu Shluchea Avim Shluchea Baal, where the father Shluchim went to go bring her to the husband's house. And again, it's the same thing. Simfon you would still have to worry about, but you wouldn't have to worry about that she's going to share it with anyone in her parents' house because she's not living in her parents' house anymore. That's how Rashi understands that these are three separate things. However, Tosfos disagrees with the translation of the last two. He says it's not three separate things. Tosfos Nibur Masal Kibul Masal V'Halach writes V'Kasha Demash Mahachad B'Masal L'Shluchei Abal Chayshinun L'Simfon. That over here it sounds like when you give her over to the Shluchei Abal, right? If you explain it the way Rashi did, when you give her over to the Shluchei Abal, we are still worried about Simfon. We're only not worried about that she's going to share the food. Uperek Narash and Espat. Kata, but in Gemara Ksubis, Amar Rav, Misirasa Lakal, Afla Truma. Rav holds, Rav Asi holds that Misirasa Lakal, Afla Truma, Mashman Dimishim Simfal Nakla Mechash. Rav Asi holds in the Gemara Ksubis that once, for whatever reason, I'm not sure exactly why this is so, but once you give her to the Shluchei Abal, I guess they check her out, once you give her to the Shluchei Abal, you no longer have to worry about Simfal. So how could that be one of our nafkaminas? If once you give her to the Shluch HaBal, you certainly don't have to worry about her sharing the food, and you also don't have to worry about Simfon. So how could that be one of the nafkaminas? Now, Pnei Yeshua points out, if you look in that Gemara, Rav Asi holds that yes, when you give her over to the Shluch HaBal, you no longer have to worry about Simfon, but Rav and Shmuel both disagree with Rav Asi over there, and he's not sure why we would ask Akasha on Rav Asi, on the Gemara here, on Rashi from Shitas Rav Asi. Adrabi, you could bring a raya to Rashi from Shitas Rav and Shmuel. Okay, that's a kasha. But anyway, Tosa says, I don't understand. According to Rav Asi, there is no concern of Simfon once you give her the Shluchei HaBal. So it says, Tosa, the Kach Nil Farish, the Masar V'Halach Chadamil Sihi. Masar and Halach are not two different cases. They aren't two separate nafkaminas. It's all one thing. Masar V'Halach is one issue. V'Achi Perusha, Masar Av L'Shluchei HaBal, V'Halach Gam Hu Imahen. If the father gives it to the Shluchei HaBal and goes along with them, V'Hilka Chayshin L'Simfon. And that's when you're worried about Simfon, because he hasn't yet given her over to the Shluchei HaBal, the father's still going. So you're still worried about Simfon, because they wouldn't check her out for Mumin when her father's still there. It's just so impolite. They would wait till the father's not there anymore when she's totally in the hands of the Shluchei HaBal. Then they'll check her up and down. But they wouldn't do that at the point when the father's still there. So that's how Tosa says. You have to say that it's one nafkamin. Okay, let's get moving. So the Mishnah said that Beis Shammai holds that the amount of money for Kiddushei Kesef is one dinar. That's the amount of money that you need to use for Kiddushei Kesef, as opposed to Beis Hillel, who said it's only a pruta. The Gemara between here and Yud Beis Amud Aleph is going to give four reasons for Shitas Beis Shammai. So it says in Gemara, Maitam Adu Beis Shammai. What's the reason for Beis Shammai? Reason number one, Amar Rabbi Zeresh Ken Isha, meaning why does Beis Shammai demand a dinar? It's a much higher value, much higher sum of money than a pruta. Why does Kiddushei Kesef only work with a dinar? So Rabbi Zeresh says, Sheken Isha Makpeda Salatzma Ve'inu Miskadeshes Pachs. A woman is very makbid about herself that she would not give herself over for kiddushin for less than a dinar. So Amar Le Abaye El Me'ata, if that's the case, the daughters of Rabbi Yannai, the captain and Avshai, v'lo miktash shibachs mitirkava didinri, hachinami di pashli yada v'kibla chadzuz me'achar hachinami d'la v'kiddushin. So what about the daughters of Rabbi Yannai, who are known to be very wealthy and have very high standards? They would never give themselves over for kiddushin unless they got an exorbitant sum of money. So you mean to tell me that according to Beis Shammai, even if they would be mekabel kiddushin of a dinar, kiddushei kesef of one dinar, it wouldn't be a good kiddushin? Because they're makbid on more, they have higher standards? It depends on the standards of the individual woman and that's why Beis Shammai says a dinar, because most women have standards above a pruta and will only accept a dinar. Is that really the pshat? Amalei pashti yad v'kibla lo kamini. He says no, I'm not saying that if she accepts Kiddushei Kesef of a dinar that it wouldn't work. Of course it would work if she accepts it, because if she accepts it, she shows that she is being mekabel kiddushin of that amount. I'm talking about a case where you give her the kesef kiddushin at night, so she doesn't see how much money it is. So if you're going to give her less than a dinar, she would not give herself over for kiddushin had she known how little money it was. Inami d'shav yishliach, or a case where she sends a shliach in her stead to be makabel the kiddushin for her. Rashi says the shav yishliach lekabel kiddushev lo nimlach ba bekama, and the shliach never bothered asking how much money she demands. Ubin said Rabbi Yani nami yishav shliach lo ave kiddushin el b'tirk v'didinri. Meaning nami, if the daughters of Rabbi Yannai would send a shliach, they would not be makabel kiddushin for anything less than a tirk v'didinri. If the shliach takes too little, so that's too bad. Then the kiddushin would not work. He says, I'm talking about a stam case where, blindly, enochinami, it would depend on the situation. That a normal woman accepts a dinar. If the Bin Seder Abiyanai Beferish accept a dinar, fine. But if it's a case where they don't know what's going on, then yeah, enochinami, they would demand more. Tulsa says, wait a second, if that's the pshat, then every single woman, we're going to have to judge what her standards are. It's going to be crazy. Some women is going to be a little more than a pruta, some will be 10 dinars. It's going to be madness. So that's what Rashi is understanding the Gemara, that the Binsei Drabiyanai, at the end of the day, we're saying, they would demand more, and if they see what they're getting, they would. If they don't see what they're getting, it would have to be whatever it is that they would want. Tosa says, but all over Shas, we always ask this question, the Satad V'rech L'Shurin, that you're not allowed to make things so subjective that it changes on such a case-by-case basis. So says Tosa, no, we misunderstood the whole Gemara here. The Nira Tosa says, in the end of Dibra Maskul Shekein, Dahachi Parach, Elamayata Gon Binse Drabiyanai, V'chitema Chinami V'lo Miskachi, Bachs Mitirka V'didinri, Imkein Asatad V'rech L'Shurin, meaning the Gemara's initial question about the Binse Drabiyanai was, how can you say that it's subjective? Because we can't be no saint of Varech L'Shirin. We can't say things are subjective. You can't have one woman being Mekudeshes for only a higher sum of money and someone else for a lesser sum of money. And then the Gemara answers, Mishani Pashriyadalokamina, the Gulsa Bedaita Deina Makpedes, Umiskadeshes Afil Bisham Pruta. If the woman takes what you're giving her, so then you see that she's not Makbid. Kika Amina, when are we talking about the Kitcha Belele? Inami Deshav Yeshliach. When the kedushin was at night, so she didn't see the money, or she sent a shliach. What's the halacha when she sends a shliach? Not like Rashi says that she needs to get the amount of money that she holds to be her standards. No, the oz kulon shavos to bepachos midinar ena miskadeshes. It's a low plug. When you send a shliach, everyone is going to be Mekadeshes only with a dinar and no less and no more. If they were really so makbid on getting their amount of money, they never would have sent a shliach. Because in general, when you send a shliach, the shliach will take the standard rate. And the standard rate is a dinar. So from the fact that they go and send a shliach, says Tosos, that's megala, that they're not makbid on getting more than the dinar, that they're willing to accept. They're willing to take the dinar. You have a similar svara later on, the Gemara and Daf Nehemiah. We'll talk about taking a shliach taking truma on your behalf. If he doesn't know whether you like to be torn by ayin yafa, by ayin ra, by ayin beinanis, right? Whether you like to take 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th for your truma. So it says the shliach is supposed to try to figure out the das balabais, try to figure out if you're a generous guy or a less generous guy. But if he doesn't, then he messes up and he gives a little more or a little less for the truma. It still counts. Because by the fact that you're allowing the shliach to do it, that itself means that you're leaving it up to the shliach. You're leaving it in his hands a little bit. So that's the pshat over here as well. Okay, that was all answer number one. Answer number two, what's the pshat in Beis Shammai? Why does Beis Shammai demand a dinar for kesef kiddushin? So Rav Yosef Amar Tamad Beis Shammai Rav Yudah Maravasi. Dam Rav Yudah Maravasi called kesef Amar B'Torah kesef Tzuri Mishal Devarim kesef Medina. Whenever the term kesef is used in the Torah, we're talking about kesef Tzuri. Kesef Tzuri is pure silver, as opposed to whenever the Rabbanan use the term kesef, they're talking about kesef Medina, which is only 1/8 silver and 7/8 of some other metal mixed in. So it has much less value. So the kesef that the Torah talks about has to be a dinar, which is 8 times as valuable as as what we would normally assume is a minimum amount of money, which would be kesef medina. This is the discussion in the Rishonim. Meseches Ksubas, if you hold that Ksubas Drabanan, so the Rishonim will deal with the question, how can we write in our Ksubas, Kesef Zuzi Masan Dechazi Lichi Midar Raisa? If you hold that whole concept of Ksubas Drabanan, how do we write in our Ksubas, Kesef Zuzi Masan Dechazi Lichi Midar Raisa? The 200 Kesef that I owe you Midar Raisa. So if you say Ksubas Daraisa, fine, but most Rishonim, Rashi, the Rambam, all say Ksuba is Drabanan. Rambam says a bunch of different things, but Pashas Ksubas Drabanan. So how can you say such a phrase? So the Rabbeinu Chananel explains that Kesef Zuzi Masan Dechazi Lichi Midaraisa doesn't mean that the concept of Ksubas Daraisa, it means the type of Kesef we're describing is Daraisa Dika Kesef, which is Kesef Tzuri and not Kesef Medina. Meaning that's the rule over here, that whenever the Torah uses the term Kesef, we're talking about Kesef Tzuri, we're not talking about Kesef Medina. Gufa, Amr Avidam Ravasi, called Kesef Amr B'Torah Kesef Tzuri, Vishal Devrayim Kesef Medina. Anytime it says Kesef in the Torah, it's Kesef Tzuri, Shal Devarim is Kesef Medina. Now the Gemara is going to go on a little bit of a tangent, asking whether this rule is really true. Uklalahu, is this really a rule? Question number one, very tiny, the Chsiv Ki Yitei Rei Ehu Kesef Okelim Lishmar, by the concept of Moda B'Miktsas. The halacha is, and a person is Moda B'Miktsas. When I say you owe me $200, you tell me you only owe me $100, you chayev a shmu on the rest. If you were kofra, if you denied everything, we'd believe you, because we assume ein adam meis pan of b'fnei bal chova, that you would never have the chutzpah to deny everything if you really owe me money. But if you're moda b'miktsas, you chayev a shvua. But how much money is it that has to be in question in order for you to be chayev a shvua? It's not shvua sadean ha'taina shtei kesef al'dah shavar pruta. The taina, I have to be towing from you at least two ma'os of kesef, and you have to be moda to me at least a shavar pruta in order for it to be a real case of moda b'miktsas. But if every time the Torah used the word kesef, kesef meant kesef tsuri, where would we get the concept of shtei kesef from? Why would we say it needs to be two kesef? If when the Torah says kesef, it just means a money amount, so then it's up to the Rabbanan to determine how much that money should be. And the Rabbanan will determine over here, it's shtei kesef. But if every time the Torah says kesef, it means kesef tsuri, where would the Rabbanan come up with the concept of shtei kesef? It should have just been kesef. It should have been one ma'a of kesef. So you see that this rule does not seem to be true, that it's not necessarily kesef tzuri. So says Gemara, no, I'll tell you where we got shtei kesef from. Hasam dum yudu kelim, ma kelim shnayim, af kesef shnayim. Over there, the pasuk says kesef o kelim lishmar, that he gives you kesef or kelim. So we say kelim, by definition, means two, because if you were describing one kli, it wouldn't be kelim, it would be kli. So we say whatever the minimum number of value of kesef is normally in the Torah, we mean two of those. Because it's supposed to be similar to the case of kelim. Uma kesef davar chashuv, af kelim davar chashuv. And just like kesef is a davar chashuv, by definition, the kelim also should be a davar chashuv. Meaning if I say that you owe me kelim, but I'm asking for like two needles, and you say, that's the example the Gemara gives in Shavuos, I say you owe me two needles, and you say, no, you owe me only one needle, that's not a davar chashuv. That wouldn't count. So, okay, why the Gemara quotes that drasha is a big discussion in the Rishonim over here, because that has nothing to do with us, ostensibly. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with us. But the first part does have what to do with us, the idea that it's two. Anyway, so says the Gemara, but still, is this really a rule? Very meiser d'chsiv, it's right on kesef biyadecha, that when you're pod de meiser sheni, you need kesef, utnana porei tzolim, imos meiser sheni. And nevertheless, we see that you can use prutas to be pod de meiser sheni, because the Gemara talks, the Mishnah talks about, if you have prutas of meiser sheni, and you want to make them, you want to exchange them for one big kesef, how do you have prutas of meiser sheni if the pasuk says you need kesef? And kesef, by definition, is kesef tzuri. You need something of higher value. So it says, kesef ha kesef ribo. We have a special ribo in the pasuk over there. Okay, a third challenge, though. Very hegdish tuksiv. V'nasana kesef akam lo. There's an imaginary pasuk that says, v'nasana kesef. There's no real pasuk that says this, but it's referring to some combination of psukim by hegdish, where it uses the term kesef. V'amr shmol hegdish shav manash chilo shav pruta. Mechulal, that a hegdish that's worth a mana that you're mechalal on a shava pruta, meaning you cheat out hegdish in your exchange, still it counts as it counts to be mechalal the hegdish. But you see, you're using a pruta even though the pasuk says kesef. So asanami kesef yalf mi meiser. Okay, we have a limud, special limud in that case as well, that it counts. Fourth challenge, right? Kiddusha isha dichsev kiikach is isha uvala v'gamar kiicha mistei efron. It's not basil. What about Kiddusha Isha? The Torah uses the term Kesef, and Beis Hillel holds, and we assume we pass like Beis Hillel, all you need is a Shavar Pruta. You don't need actual Kesef. You only need a Shavar Pruta. So you want to tell me that Rav Asi, who says that whenever the term Kesef is used in the Torah, it means Kesef Tzuri, holds like Beis Shammai? No, so we have to rephrase the rule. The rule is really Amar Avidam Ravasi called Kesef Katsuv Ha Amar B'Torah Kesef Tzuri. Whenever the Torah gives an exact amount of money, it's always referring to Kesef Tzuri. Vishal Devrayim Kesef Medina. And any time the Rabbanan give an exact amount of money, it's referring to Kesef Medina. Maika Mashmalon, so says Gemara, what's the Chiddush of that then? Tanina, that we already know. Chamish Shalom Shal Ben, Shloshim Shal Eved, Chamishim Shal Onis Shal Mefate, Meya Shal Motzi Shemra, Kulam B'Shekel HaKodesh B'Mana Tzuri. all of those things are kesef tsuri, because those are all set amounts of money that it says in the Torah. Vishal devrei, so you see, that we already know. You don't need Rav Asi to teach me that. So answers the Gemara, no, what Rav Asi teaches me is as follows. Vishal devrei am kesef medina, it's trichalei delotanan. He's teaching me that whenever the Rabbanan use the term kesef, it's talking about kesef medina. That's the chiddush of Rav Asi. Detanya, hatokeh lechaveru, because we have a braisa that says that if someone hits his friend on his ear, or makes a loud noise in his ear and hurts him, nosin lo sela, he gives him a sela. V'lo tema mai sela arbezuzi, so Rav Asi's chiddush is, don't tell me that the sela means a sela of kesef tsuri, which would equal four zuz. Elamai sela, palga de zuza. Sela really means only a half a zuz, which is 1/8 of that. Da avidi inshi de karu la palga de zuza istira, because sometimes people call a palga de zuza, they'll call a half a zuz an istira. But the bottom line is, the Gemara issued four challenges to this rule of Rav Asi, that anytime it says kesef in the Torah, it automatically means kesef tsuri. And the final challenge was strong enough, which was from our Mishnah, from Kiddushin, was strong enough to say, no, we misunderstood the entire rule. The rule really is that only when the Torah gives an amount of money, that's when we say it's kesef tsuri. When the Rabbanan give a certain amount of money, the Rabbanan are talking about kesef medina. But keep in mind the global picture over here. What's this Gemara really about? This sugya is about trying to figure out, why does Beis Shammai demand that Kiddush HaKesef be a dinar and not just a pruta? So far we've had two answers. Now answer number three. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Omer, Tamayu de Beis Shammai Kiddush Chizkiya. That the reason of Beis Shammai is as explained by Chizkiya. The Amar Chizkiya, Amar Kra Vihifte, Milamit Shemagaris Mi Pidyona. You know what? This is going to be a discussion, so maybe we should stop before this. We'll get into Rabbi Shimon Lakish and the final answer, Rava's answer, Mitzvah Hashem, first thing tomorrow.